Jesus. All I want to see is Him in me. All I want to see is Jesus. Yes, all I want to see is Him in me. All I want to see is Jesus shining through me.
He'll say, well done. How many wants that? Well done. Just to hear Him say it, my faithful. Oh, one. Amen. Sing it. Well done. Jesus, well done. Right now, yes, all I want to see is Him in me. All I want to see is Jesus shining through me. Oh Lord Jesus, that's all we want to see. You, Lord, shining. Shine through us today. Shine through us in this hour, oh God, as never before, with a great brightness that's never been seen or experienced before. May it be something beyond what we can ever imagine or even think, Lord. Be here in a mighty way. Father God, we come before you humbly, Lord. We're trusting that your word will have an impact on our lives. Lord Jesus, that your word spoken, it becomes life, it becomes liberty, it becomes everything we need, it manifests itself in our lives. So Father, we just trust you right now, Lord Jesus, that you will just move our hearts, Lord God, into that realm, Lord, where the supernatural starts to unfold. Let it happen, Lord, this morning, oh God, where changes are taking place. Where we come, Lord, and we realize you're standing here. Your presence is here. Let there be a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit, we pray. For, Lord, we thirst for you. We hunger for you. We desire that, Lord God. Let it come this morning. For we trust you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't he good? If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to begin it. We're just going to read a scripture out of 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of God and gather around His word. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And the 51st verse. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. What precious words. You may be seated. What a beautiful promise. You know, this is a change that the Apostle Paul is speaking about, where our bodies are going to be changed. Amen. Something that has happened only almost in type, because it's so rare that it happens at all. We see an Enoch who went in a rapture. We see an Elijah who went in a rapture. And even Jesus, we see he also went in a rapture, and he brought the Old Testament saints up. And we see these experiences happening over and over. And then Paul begins to teach us, to tell us, it's coming again. Even Jesus speaks it, and Paul speaks it. It's coming again. Hallelujah. It's a promise. Do you believe it? And it's a promise that's not far off, so that we just live our lives as though whatever, you know. That's so future, I don't know. But it's a promise that's very close. You could almost breathe it in. You know, just imagine that people could be so close to something and not realize it's right there. And maybe even give up. You know, last minute. Just, I can't do it anymore. I just can't keep pursuing this any longer. And there it is, right before us. Hallelujah. Just think, right there. You never want to come up short when you could just about reach out and grab it. Amen? It's that close. But what I want to deal with this morning is the final push to the rapture. I want to speak about the final push. It's just like a woman carrying a child. You know, it's months and months. I mean, 9 months. It's just must seem like eternity. I don't know, but it's 9 months of this. And, you know, to make it seem a little easier, there's a first trimester and a second trimester. That's supposed to make it easier, right? So, oh, finally in the third trimester, whatever. But when it gets to that point, it just starts to become so difficult, I can imagine. You know, you're just, my sister-in-law is expecting, and she's supposed to have her child soon. It's coming up like within weeks. And she's there. I mean, she's still working and still coming home and taking care of her great aunt, and she's still running the household. And I'm just hearing that things are getting, you know, things that are easy are hard to do now. The chores are not so easy anymore. You know, going off to work, not so easy. Things are getting tougher. And it would be easy just to want to relax and not do anything. But the bottom line is that it's going to take a final push to bring that baby. And when you get all the way into the whole hospital situation and you're, you know, getting ready to have the baby, and they talk about all these different medical terms and things like that, but there's something they start saying. They start saying push, right? They start telling you have to push, and they tell you when to push, and it has to line up with the contractions. And then it's time to push. And I don't know why there's all that rattling, but there sure is. Anyway, time to push. And so, and it's kind of like, you know, when the contractions are happening, you can just see that she just doesn't want this. You know, you want to get away from the pain, but the pain is coming on and going away. It's like waves. And then it comes back, and then it goes away, and they say the contractions are getting closer together, which is a sign that you're getting close to having birth. Saints, how many understands that you feel like, you know, remember when back 60 years, 50 years, if you're old enough, 40 years, 20 years ago, you know, life, you seem like every 5 years something kind of, like every 10 years something bad happened, and tough things in your life, and everything was okay, and then now it's like every 5 years, and now it's like every 2 years. How many feels like now it's like every year, you know, something trouble, it's like trouble again. I'm getting hit again. Saints, understand something. This isn't happening to everybody necessarily, though it is a worldwide thing. But for you who are in the birth channel of a body change, it's going to be more waves and waves, and they're going to come quicker. So don't quit. Don't give up. Don't die in the birth channel. You know, don't be a stillbirth. I'm not sure what that's all about. But don't give up. Might just have like a weak thing here. I don't know. technology fails. So he can keep that. He's not too happy about where this is going to go. Amen. How many here is excited though about where it's going to go? Hallelujah. So you know it's that thing. It's the whole thing about the preparation and everything that goes into, you know, having the baby, and how we prepare ourselves and we get ourselves set up, and you know we're expecting we're gonna go into rapture. We talk about it. We're excited. And it's so amazing, and especially when it started to become a reality to us, you know, 60 years ago for some of us, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, you know, we started to realize, wow, you know, this rapture could happen any minute. In fact, we really felt it was going to happen any minute. People, like, sold their homes and quit their jobs, and they thought, it's coming any minute now. And it didn't happen that way, but the expectation was there, and the excitement was there, and the energy was there, and it was very positive. But that's just like the same energy a woman feels and the husband when they find out they're expecting. It's not like it's going to be tomorrow you're having the baby. You know, you just found out that you're expecting. So the energy's there, so you go out shopping, and you buy all the materials, and you buy all the stuff, and you put the room together, and you put all the baby stuff together, and you're all excited, and it's this great energy. But then it just starts to drag on a little bit. It's just going on and on. When is this going to end? You know, I can imagine. I'm just only imagining, sisters, that I want to get this thing out of me. I want this out. This is crazy. You know, one of us is going to die if this doesn't work right. And that's what we're going through, saints. We are going into the birth channel. We're going into the stage of almost like a lock-in position. And it's very painful and very stressful. And the waves are just coming, and the contractions are coming one after another after another. You just get through one thing and another thing hits you. And it's not just on a physical, natural level. We know the whole earth, the whole world system is pressurized against anybody that has eternal life resident in them. Because it's a system of death. It's constantly a system of death. It wants to keep you where you're not even really living. You're just going through the cycles. You're just going through the motions. And you're just like a dead robot working away and whittling away at your life until there's nothing left, and then they're done. The whole system's done with you. You're spit out as an old rotten sponge. You're no good. Nobody needs you anymore. Next, let's get the next person in line. And that's the world we live in. But saints, something lives in you called eternal life, and it's Christ Jesus, and it can't be a part of a dead system because it's a part of a living system. So there's nothing going to spit you out. You're going to be caught up and out. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that's the reason why I want to speak on this morning, because we're entering into a place where we can't be concerned about the contractions or the pressures and the things that are happening around us, because they're going to happen. But what we need to focus on is that final push. You're going to be told, push. And then push again. You know, somebody once said push is an acronym for pray until something happens. Hallelujah. So just push again. You know, and there's times you don't feel like praying, and times you don't feel like going to church, and times when you hear so much against what we believe. Well, maybe it isn't all that accurate. Well, maybe it isn't all that correct. I tell you, saints, just as those mighty men of valor held on to David, believed David would become king, it looked impossible. It looked ridiculous. Here was a guy running away from the Philistines on the outside and Saul and armies on the inside, hiding in caves. It didn't look possible, but they held on to him. They held on that this was the one who would be crowned King of Kings. And finally it happened. And I tell you, that's what the disciples did. They were holding on to Jesus. Things were going great, and then all of a sudden things weren't going great. People started leaving. Not only was he being attacked by the religious community, but his own disciples started leaving. And it boiled all down to the 12, and he said, "Where are you guys going to?" In other words, what are you sitting here for? Keep going. And they said to him, "We've burned every bridge. We've left our mothers and fathers. We're holding on to you. You have the word. You have the plan. We're holding on. It looks crazy. It seems impossible. But we're going to hold on anyway. We don't know where it's going to go or how it's going to turn out. But I can't let go." Amen. And how many here feels like we're in that same place again? Amen. Just hold on. Just hold on, because something good is about to happen. Something great is in store. Hold on. There's a final push that'll get us through the door. Amen. And give us a body change. Hallelujah. Now, I just want to read a couple of quotes here that I will kind of set things up a little bit. But this is a message called, it's in Questions and Answers in 64, and he says, hallelujah, "Those who are sleeping in the dust will be awakened first, and they'll, and these corruptible bodies will put on incorruption in the rapturing grace of the Lord." I love the rapturing grace, don't you? I mean, at some point, it's going to be grace, because it's going to feel like grace, amen? Like a lot of grace. And that's what we'll be at. "And then we'll all get together, and when they begin to get together, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed." I love that, don't you? Just think, the resurrection has to happen first. How many knows that's the scripture? We cannot precede them. They raise first. They get their bodies first. We'll get ours last. So just imagine every age is coming up. Boom, 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 one after another. Every age is raising, raising, raising. All seven ages raising. The entire resurrection happens. And they're all gathered together. And, you know, we're just going to be connected somehow. We're going to know this is going on. And they're gathering together. And I imagine this may not be exactly right, but I imagine the ultimate gathering place would be around Israel. Wouldn't it make sense? But at any rate, they've just been rolling, rolling, rolling up a resurrection back to Israel. And then, you know, there's a place where Brother Branham says, "You will see your loved one." Hallelujah. "You will see a loved one." Now, you know, when Jesus rose, it says the saints, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they rose up and they showed themselves to many. Imagine that. Abraham said, "Oh, hi. Oh, hello, you. I'm your great, 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 great grandfather." you know, and then poof, disappear. But it didn't make an impact. It couldn't make an impact. It wasn't time yet. But they were rehearsing it. They were practicing. When the resurrection happens amongst us saints, I believe we're going to see people. We're going to see loved ones. We're going to see Brother Branham. We're going to see people. Martin Luther, John Wesley. We're going to see amazing people. Paul and Silas and Timothy and so on. We're going to see these people. Imagine this. And so what the prophet of God says is, you know, you'll see them. And they'll see you, and you'll recognize each other. And as you start to move toward each other, you'll have a change. Isn't that exciting? You know, doesn't that just inspire you that when they raise, we're going to have a change? And so that's what he says here. He says, "When they begin to get together, then we which are alive and remain, we shall be changed. These mortal bodies will not see death, but just of a sudden, there will be like a sweep go over us, and you're changed." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love that, don't you? You're turned back like Abraham was, from an old man to a young man, from an old woman to a young woman. What's the sudden change? He says, after a while, you're traveling like a thought. And you can see those then who are already resurrected. Oh, what an hour. And we'll gather together with them and then be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that to me is the most amazing words of promise. You know, question, is there a rapture? I mean, it's beyond refute. The Bible speaks of it. The prophet speaks of it.
And honestly, to understand this, saints, really the question is there like a final push? And that's exactly what the Bible is speaking about. How many understands we are living in a time where just the pressures of the age lets you know something has to give, something has to change, something has to happen. We're not going to have a better America with a new president. We're not going to have a better world necessarily. What we're going to have is we're going to have more troubles, more pressures, more things coming our way, but those things will actually are actually forcing you into a rapture. It's forcing it to happen. It's bringing it to a point where it's got to take place. So that's why I want you to understand that the Bible speaks of it, the message speaks of it, the pressures of the age and the signs of the age that we live in speak of a final push. Praise the Lord. And I have a fourth area, and that is the unction of the Holy Spirit. It is the very cry, the very pull, the very yearning and longing, I believe, of a Holy Spirit unction in your heart that's saying, I need a body change. Amen. How many would agree with me on that? Something in you, I need this change. I'm ready for this change. I'm crying for it. The deep is calling out. There's got to be something. Change me. Change me, Lord. Because it's crying deep in you to change your spirit, change your heart, change your mind, change your innermost being. If it's going to change you on the inside, it's got to change the outside. Because you're pressurized spiritually for a body change. Praise the Lord. So this is why I want to speak on this. And that is we're looking at the motivation. Amen. Let me read one more thing to you in another message called The Rising of the Sun. And he said, some of you men that's afraid of your organization will throw you out when you baptize your congregation in scriptural baptism. You need to close yourself in the upper room till the dynamics come. Amen. And I got a feeling of that the Lord God, the Holy Spirit, that's moving among us and around the world, among true believers around the world, real, true, genuine Christians, is saying, you need to get alone with me. You've got to get alone with me. There is a dynamics coming. There is a sweep coming. There is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, unlike anything that's ever struck the earth is about to strike the earth again. For the final thing. And it's a push. It's a body change. It's a change. It's a resurrection. It's all going to happen because he's ready to do it. He's just waiting for us to get in an upper room. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's do that. Don't you think it's good? He says it changed them. It quickened them. It made them different. They were a changed people from then on. It quickened them from an old life of being a coward like to the life of a lion of the tribe of Judah. They absolutely faced martyrdom, nailed to crosses, crucified upside down, burnt, and thrown in lions' dens. No more cowards about them. See, saints, what I'm trying to tell you here is if the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost turned these cowards into courageous men and women, because they needed to be able to face the challenges And basically the persecution that was coming, you know, don't worry about that here. What's going to happen here is the same thing. As the sweeping of the Holy Spirit comes wave after wave, saints, hallelujah, it's getting us ready, hallelujah, so that we cannot go into persecution, but we are going into a body change, a rapture. Praise the Lord. So he says, absolutely faced martyrdom, crosses, no more cowards then. Death had no victory over them at all. The dynamics was in the mechanics. Yes, sir, it quickened their mortal body. When it quickens your mortal body, it'll heal you. When it quickens your mortal body, it sets you free. Amen? From mortal stuff. When it quickens your mortal body, it's going to transform you. Hallelujah. And finally, when it quickens your mortal body, your body cannot stay in the same condition it was in from the day that you were born. Instead, it's got to be rearranged. All your atoms will be rearranged. Hallelujah. You're going to be a different person. You're going to still be you, but you're going to have a brand new body. Praise the Lord. So, I hope I'm inspiring you because I want to deal with three things, three areas, the motivation to push, right? So that's why I spoke on that, that you know it's in the Word of God, you see it there, and we all can say amen. We all recognize that there is a pressure or an unction within us to push. Hallelujah. Don't let your life be just summed up as someone who lived a life of urgency and a life of floating along the river and just whatever came your way was what motivated you. So let what's in you, let the Word revealed that's in you be your motivation. The Word in you is crying out for a fulfillment of promise. I must have a body change. God promised me a body change. I'm going to have one. How many believes that? Do you have that in your heart? Something in you say, it's for me. That God made the promise. Paul was showing us. He said, I tell you a mystery. What was a mystery in Paul's day is a revelation today. Paul taught us the mystery of the body change. He taught us the mystery of the rapture. But in our day, we have the revelation of the rapture. Oh, what a difference it makes. Saints, you say, well, I don't know if I could write it down. I don't know if you can either. Revelation doesn't mean you can write anything down. It simply means it motivates the way you live. It changes how you live. For me, it's a revelation that God, in His power, can take this old dying body and transform it and change it. Free of death, free of sickness, free of sin, free of any other motivation, but to give pleasure and glory to the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And that's what we're here for. So, I love that. The dynamics was in the mechanics. Listen, God has used His Word, sent His Word to us for the last 50 years plus to get the mechanics in place. Now, I want you to understand something. When they build a car, you know, today, you go to these huge manufacturing facilities where they build these cars and they use robots and they use machines to build the cars. Each of the parts have to be built by machines and men are involved, of course, creating the designs and so on. But it's these machines that are powered by electricity and obviously, you know, some kind of fuel and some way to energize the entire facility. And it's this energy, it's this facility and these machines and so on that are actually putting the mechanics together. It takes dynamics to build the mechanics. Praise the Lord. And then when the car is completely built, it's rolled on out and all it needs is some fuel. Hallelujah. And I pray and trust that you and I would agree the mechanics have been put together. Now, when a car is completely finished and they put it all together, it's still in the raw and it still has to go through polishing. It has to have certain things that are extra kind of trimmed off. It needs to be completely polished, trimmed off, painted, and put together. And so, you know, And God's put all the mechanics together. That doesn't mean that there hasn't been a need to kind of remove some things. You know, let some stuff come off that doesn't need to be there. You want to clean that thing up. If you're building an airplane, same thing. So all the mechanics are in place, built by dynamics. Hallelujah! And then it takes the fuel, which I'm trusting, I'm right now putting the nozzle in, hallelujah, and you're just getting fueled up, praise the Lord, and all it takes is a spark. Now, the cool thing about it is, if you didn't put fuel in there, you could turn the key, and you could have a spark going, and things are turning, and nothing's happening. It requires the fuel, which to me is the Holy Spirit and the inspiration and the supernatural motivation that's in you that's now saying, okay, I've got fuel coming in. Now I know when I turn the key, it's going to spark it. Now, saints, this is where you need to really think. Think about this for just a minute. When they build the car and they build spark plugs, for example, even though they use different things now, but let's just use spark plugs, and you put that spark plug in there, and that spark plug is built by dynamics, amen, and it's sitting in there, Do you realize that it's already built into the mechanics to produce a spark? Right? It can already make a spark. It just needs enough fuel to cause the spark to have its purpose fulfilled, to light up the fuel. Amen. And what that'll do is start to drive the mechanics. Amen. Hallelujah. And now the other thing is you can't just put fuel in the car. One of the first things they have to do is saturate the motor with oil. Because you don't want to have all those metal just rubbing. You got to get oil in there, amen? And so, saints, you know, we as a church, as the Church of the Living God worldwide, we're like the parts, the mechanics. Each one is a member. But we need to be saturated in oil. So we're not just rubbing shoulders and, you know, hurting each other. But we want to be saturated in the Holy Spirit so that it's the love of God that no matter how you're working, I'm working too. You may be a cylinder, you may be a piston, you may be a, you know, one of the other things, and a valve, and so on. And you're serving a purpose, and we're all kind of would be banging and clunking together, but the Holy Spirit makes it smooth. He helps us get along, turns us into a great machine that's incredible, that's created by the Creator Himself, and it's effective and powerful. So the Holy Spirit's in there. The preaching of the word comes. Hallelujah. Fuel, 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 fuel. Amen. All it takes is the great supernatural one, the designer of the whole thing, to get on in there and say, let's try this baby out. I just want to see how it works. And he has to, all he has to do is turn that key. Amen. Oh, how I would love for him to be so pleased with his bride around the world. Every piece of the mechanics is put together. Every last member is in. And he just turns the key. Amen. And she fires up and she just starts chugging down the road. Hallelujah. She is a special built bird. Special. The dynamics. He said the dynamics will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit that we've had in a measure here and a measure there and a measure there, because we've needed that to powerfully put the mechanics together. But I believe with all my heart, saints, as I stand here today and the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart, and I know speaking to your heart, same thing, that the mechanics are just about done. There's not much left to do. There's a few more here and a few more there. Maybe in America, maybe China, maybe India, maybe Africa, maybe somewhere else. Just one here, one there, one there. And finally, every last piece is put together. And there's an anointing coming out, an anointing here, an anointing there, and a little bit there, and a little bit there, but finally, praise God, the one who anoints, the anointed one steps in. See, that's what I'm looking for. I love the anointing, but I'm looking for the anointed one. Amen. He steps in and he starts driving the vehicle. Well, now the devil's got no chance. So I hope that this morning there's at least the first thing that I want to get going on here is the motivation to push. It's been hard. We're languishing, Brother Elijah. This is a tough battle to fight and a tough road to go down, and tough to be a Christian nowadays, let alone a what we call a message believer. It's even tougher. How can we be bride? How do we act? How do we live? It's tough to do that in this age we're living in. People struggle with it. But saints, I'm telling you, don't let go. Don't give up. Hold on. Keep pushing. Because something is about to happen. Now, I need for you to not only feel the motivation and inspiration to push, but I need for you to make the decision to push. You see, a person who makes a decision is committed. When you commit yourself to something and you know what it is and you know what needs to be done, then it gets done. That's a decision. A person who is decisive is a person who doesn't need to think about it a lot, doesn't need to discuss it a lot. He sees it, it's correct, he sizes it up very quickly in his mind or her mind and says, that's it, I've got to do this. And when a person makes a decision, it's kind of the word decision comes from a root word, which means to cut off or bite off in some cases, if you want to really look into the word or the meaning. But it means cutting off. It means that you have decided to take a path and you're not going to look at any other path. you are going to become super focused on this thing that's set before us. But, you know, what happens to us, saints, because of the world we live in, we kind of get our focus a little off. We're worried about this and we're stressing about that. And Jesus was very clear about not stressing out. Not being anxious or having anxiety, like, because sometimes it's a chemical thing and you can't control that. But sometimes it's something we bring on ourselves. So don't feel bad if it's a chemical thing. God's going to change your body anyway, and that'll be all dealt with. But, you know, some of us, we're doing it to ourselves, and we need to realize, no, that's because I've got my focus on the wrong things. I'm worried about the bills. I'm worried about the payments. I'm worried about this. Stop it. Focus on this. Because if you do, all the other things will be taken care of. You've got to put first things first, amen? And right now, the thing that's coming up before us, the most important thing that's looming just ahead of us, is a resurrection and a body change. Hallelujah. It's right there. So there needs to be a decision. You know, once you're motivated, people will be motivated, they'll be inspired, and in 24 hours, they don't feel the inspiration anymore. That's why when you make a decision or a commitment, it's something that you keep doing. You're going to keep doing because you committed to doing it, whether you feel it or you don't, whether you feel inspired or you don't. Because remember, contractions are going to keep coming. And when they're off, you're like, okay, I'm going to have this baby. This is great. I'm going to have the baby. And then here comes the contractions again. Oh, what am I doing? And the husband's talking to you about maybe having a third, a second, fifth child, and you're about ready to smack him in the face. Because you're like, I don't know if I'm going to live through this. What are you talking about? And it's because that's how it is. That's what we're going through right now. You're going to feel that. But saints, don't forget, just over this next hill, just beyond this next mountain, there is a body change coming. It's right around the corner. If you keep on moving, it's going to happen. But the decision has to be made right now. Things aren't going to get easier, saints. I'm telling you, it's going to get tougher. But you must decide, I am so committed to this, I'm going to hold right on until I see my loved ones and my body's changed. It's going to happen. So make that decision, make that commitment this morning. Full commitment. And again, remember, that means no matter what happens, you're going to do it. Now, a lot of times people get the why and then they've made a commitment, but they don't understand how. So the third thing, first is motivation to push. Second is the decision to push. And finally, the last thing is the practical plan for the push. A lot of times in the ranks of preaching and around the church, church concept that we have, where you sit and you hear preaching, you get inspired, and that's kind of the routine. We keep on getting inspired, and that's okay. It's all right. But I have discovered, and I'm sure you have too, if you are a Bible reader, that 80% of this book is practical. Amen. Common sense. That's not common. Amen. But it's like God says, wash the pots and pans with hot water, and they made a religion out of it. And he says, that's not, I don't want to be a religion. I'm just trying to keep you healthy. You know, and if you now we can look back with hindsight and say, oh, that makes sense. You're killing off the little bugs. You're sterilizing. Right, I kind of joke about dishwashers because dishwashers are redundant in my book because nobody puts dishes, just dirty old dishes, in a dishwasher. That's what they advertise. But you got to scrub them down, wash them down, get all the hard caked on stuff off, and you do all that work in the sink and then get them in the dishwasher. What is it? It's not a dishwasher. It's a sterilizer. They need to change the name. This is a sterilizer. I've already washed them, but I wouldn't really eat on them because it could be some little hidden bug. So I'm going to sterilize them. It's all practical. It seems crazy, though, if you're a man, because you're like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Because she's, you know, your wife's going to complain that you did the dishes and they still have stuff on them. If I just did them in the sink, right? But the point is that, saints, there has to be a practical way to do this. The inspiration's good. The motivation's great. Your decision and commitment is wonderful, but what are you committing to? There has to be kind of a step-by-step way that this gets done. So we're going to talk about what it is, what leads to the resurrection, what leads to our body change, what is leading to the rapture. Now, we understand, saints, that you cannot be changed without them, but they cannot be changed or made perfect without you. So there's something that we must do that triggers the resurrection, and then the resurrection triggers our body change. So as the prophet of God said it, out of the word of God, it says they're waiting on us. They're waiting. He says, you're waiting for Jesus to come. He says, Jesus is waiting for you. We got to get ready. The bride makes herself ready. We got to do something. There's something we have to do. And it's a practical thing. Now, when a woman's about to get married, you know, she's not practical at all. I mean, there's a rare woman every now and then that's practical. But I wouldn't say that would be great anyway. Who wants to marry a woman that's just saying, yes, and today we're going to have the wedding and everything's all mapped out? And I mean, that's okay. But every single woman I ever know that got married typically wasn't some kind of a merger. She was in love, right? It's kind of silly to get married to someone because it's a great plan. Or you see these guys, right? They go, well, she hits everything on my checklist, but she's missing a few. But I'll go ahead and marry her anyway. It's the best decision I can make. That's pretty sad. There ought to be something motivating that thing, right? There needs to be a dynamic in there. And at any rate, what she has to do to get ready is kind of practical, right? Everything has to be planned. You have to put it together. So either she gets somebody who does that, or she's pretty much tells you, this is what I'd like done, and it gets done. The wedding dress, the gown, everything she wears, she's putting on, it's all has to be done right. It would be kind of weird if she didn't put it on right because she was so in love, she didn't care how it looked. Just threw it on backward, and she cares. Saints, she wants to look the best that she can look for her husband. She wants to be beautiful on her day. And if you are recognizing this is your day and your message, then you want to put that message on, put the word on, and look the best. And it becomes a very practical thing. It's a very pragmatic life. We live it. And it, in fact, too many times I know Christians who are defeated and beat up by the devil. It's because they just don't put it on there line upon line, precept upon precept. If we do it that way, it's like put on the whole armor of God. Just put it on, but put it on one at a time. Don't just slap it on. One at a time. Get everything together. Get the sword of the Spirit. And then use it. It's a very practical plan for pushing. So we're going to talk about what is it that triggers the body change. Well, according to the Word of God, and according to the message of the hour, it's a great manifestation of the ministry of Jesus Christ once again among his people. Yes, we had a healing revival not too long ago. And yes, if you go back to the early 1900s, there was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and speaking of tongues and gifts came back. That's all wonderful. But what I'm talking about here is the very thing that Jesus just threw out there, and Moses did a little bit, Jesus did a little bit, Paul and John point forward, and the disciples and apostles speak forward about it coming. In some cases, it's very mysterious. But what I'm speaking about is the maturity of the bride, of the members of the body of Jesus Christ, to such a level that she can handle the authority. She can live in the authority. Does that make sense? See, the character is to the point that it can handle the ability to use the authority, fit to rule. Fit to rule over every devil, over every creeping thing. Fit to rule over every habit. Fit to rule by the power of God over every thought that tries to come up against the kingdom of God. It cuts it down. It captivates it. It brings it into captivity. Tearing down strongholds. Warring and winning against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hallelujah. Tearing down the powers of darkness. It's your job. It's my job. It's what we're called to. Amen. And we really didn't have an effect throughout 2,000 years of church history. It was okay, a little here, a little there. But now, a full bride around the world is going to rise to the occasion, and she's going to take dominion away from the enemy. Until the final enemy, death, Who will save me from this body of death? We're going to have, by God's grace, the power of the spoken word under the authority of Jesus Christ is going to drive death right out of your body. Hallelujah. It's going to tell death, give up the dead. Satan, you can't hold on and keep these. Death, you cannot hold on to these. They are redeemed. They are sleeping only, and they're sleeping in Jesus, and they're coming up again. Hallelujah. That's the authority of the Holy Spirit in the day that we're living in. The dynamics is crying out, come up out of the earth. There's got to be an earth giving birth. That's what's happening. The earth is giving birth. That's why every time there's an earthquake, there's a resurrection. Every time the earth has an earthquake, it's a contraction. Or a world war is a contraction. Because those things are pushing forward till they're finally the earth ushers out God's children. Maybe 1 million, 2 million, 5 million, 100 million, we don't know. It's just going to be a lot of us. And it's going to be awesome. Amen? And so, what triggers the body change is what's called a third pole manifested fully in power and authority. How many believes that? See, it's that third pole. He said, the third pole, he said, to me, this will be the thing that will start the rapture. Amen? Amen? Now, a lot's been preached. Third pole is the opening of the word. Yes, but that's only the first part. That's the build of mechanics. But the third pole is also dynamics. Because when the things are being spoken and they're happening, when somebody speaks something and it comes to pass, when we rise to the occasion where the bride has, thus saith the Lord. She says it, speaks it, and it happens. Amen. I hope you're inspired this morning. Because saints, that's what it's going to take. We've got to get there. We're kind of here, and it's right here, and the rapture's right behind it. And we've got to get from here to there to trigger the rapture, the resurrection, and so on. It's going to require us to step up to the plate and speak to the mountain and speak to the trees and speak to the troubles and speak to the powers that be and speak to anything. Speak to some old habit in your life. Speak to it and cast it down. Take control of it. Drive a mountain out of your way so you can go forward. Part a sea. Go right through it. Nothing can stop you. Speak it. The power of the spoken word. It had limited effect, but today it's to come in full manifestation. Praise the Lord. Now there's going to be more pressure. Don't let that bother you. Press, squeeze, comes, and then it will force us. See, if you can't go to the doctor when you're sick because you don't have the right, somehow you lost the right under some kind of program, right? You can't go to the doctor. Well, then what are you going to do, saints? Have to be like they are in Africa, where they don't have a doctor. So they just pray and they get delivered and healed and set free and go beyond that even. It's going to happen worldwide. There'll be a press. There'll be troubles because of what you believe. That's okay. We need it. We're so worried about, do I have enough insurance? Am I going to be able to afford going to the doctor and all this stuff we're worried about? Don't worry about it. Pretty soon they'll take it all away, so you don't have any choice. You have to go to God. Oh, well, sorry. Amen. We have to stop our minds from thinking God is a maybe, but the doctor is probably a little more sure that I'm going to get some kind of result. No, that's not necessarily true. You might get a result that you don't like. It happens. A friend of mine went into the hospital, chest pains. He said, you're okay. Go home. Never made it to the door. Died in the hospital on the floor. Massive heart attack. Guess they were wrong. I'm not saying that they could have done much. But don't, we have to remember, we put our trust in a lot of things. Brother Josh was telling me about this, and I'm not recommending this for us, because I'm believing in something bigger than this. But there's a guy that's built a totally self-reliant house on a piece of property where he does not have any, he's not on the power grid at all. He doesn't need that. He's got solar going on. He's got hydrogen fuel, whatever else he's using. He just runs his whole house, runs his whole farm. Everything he's got going there, he's got all his food. Everything he needs is right there. He's self-sufficient. I love the idea, but it took him, I don't know how long, probably to build that up, maybe 20 years. We don't have time to do that. We've got a country calling us. That's got all that self-sufficiency. See, and we're going to be self-sufficient by the word. We're just going to speak it. What do you think, saints? You're sitting right here. Somebody could be sitting right here, and I could be preaching, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit right now. How did that happen? The word did it. I didn't do it. The word did it. I'm just preaching, and they get healed. They're delivered. The word does it. The spoken word does it. And it's not just in the pulpit, not just in church. It's along the way, at work. You're just talking to somebody, and they start sharing some of the troubles they're having. And you just say, hey, I can pray for your family right now. I can pray for you right now. You just offer to help them with prayer and with some other means. Maybe they need you to go help them in their home, whatever it is. Just offer. The more we reach out, we've made that decision to practically push in a practical way. Amen. What triggers the third pull? We know it's going to take it, saints. It'll take that speaking things and having it happen that will cause a resurrection, according to the Word of God. So then what is required to bring on the third pull? And here's what it is. In my estimation, by the Word of God and by the message of this hour, the victory in the love divine. It's going to take divine love. That's the ultimate level of full character, the character of Jesus Christ, that can handle the authority. And then we can truly know and say, you, Mrs. Jesus Christ, you are the final voice to the final age. Hallelujah! And it's going to require this love divine. In other words, a Christ-like feeling for people. And Brother Ram said it this way. Here's a man who's in ministry. He's brought healing to thousands and hundreds of props, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people, healing and deliverance, and so on, because the man seemed like so much had the love of Christ in him. In fact, Sister Priscilla Cutts, she told me at one time they were in a meeting, they had their eyes closed there because a certain man was praying to start the meetings to invite Brother Branham out. Not to say it was Brother Branham, but she said, while your heads were bowed, everyone, people started crying, started weeping. You just felt the love of Christ come over you. He said, when he was done praying, he looked up and Brother Branham had walked out and stood there. So here you can say, oh, it must have been the man. It wasn't the man. It was what he was carrying with him. And it was an example for us to carry that with us everywhere we go. And let it be love, love divine, that causes this great victory that we're talking about, where we just speak things and help people and deliver them. You deliver them. You feed them. You do it. Hallelujah. That's our job now. We have to pick up the ball and run with it. So, what is it that triggers this love divine? How many wants to know what that is? It's a commitment. Just as we read here, you need to close yourself in the upper room till the dynamics come. It's a commitment, amen, to the prayer closet. Praise the Lord. We don't pray enough. You can laugh too much, you can talk too much, you can sing too much, he said. You can do a lot of things too much, but you can never pray too much. We need to make a commitment, amen, to a prayer closet. Jesus said you couldn't even pray for 1 hour. You got 24 hours a day, 168 hours a week. And how many here knows we spend hours and hours doing mundane things? Hours and hours. Brother Man says, as far as I know, I've never stolen anything, but I've probably stolen time. If he's guilty, what about us? And saints, we're out of time. Amen. That's true, man. This is it. It's going to require all of us. We all have to push. In your own way, you've got to decide, and then you've got to take this plan of action and say, that's it. I'm going to start with praying. And then I'm going to look for ways I can help people. And because our goal is we got to get that last one in. Whatever we have to do to get the last one in, we've got to do it. We need to work together, get that last person in. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Amen. That's what it's going to take. And what I would like us to do is, you can start right away, but I'm shooting for a kind of a start day, Easter Sunday, this coming Easter. It's April the 16th. That Sunday, we're going to just start a what I'm going to call a 90-day push. Just a push, push, push. We're going to pray, seek God, reach out to the sick. Every chance we get, pray for people. Every chance we get, witness to people. Jesus gave us a commission not to for us to just play around with it. Brother Branham says the church couldn't do the commission. They could never finish it because they're so tied up in their organization. Hope we're not guilty of that. But he said what he now has turned over to the bride, we must do it. The Great Commission is ours. As you're going, preach. Tell people how. You say, brother, I don't know how to tell. I don't know how to share this message. It's hard. It's complicated. What we believe is really difficult. How about if I make it really easy for you? The message is the Lord Jesus Christ in you. How many's experienced that? Now, how hard is that for you to tell someone how your candle got lit? So here's the secret. First, do what Jesus did. He showed interest in people first. He showed, if you have a need, I will bring it. He brought deliverance. He brought liberty. He brought relief. He constantly was thinking, how do I bring relief? He had such a heart for people, compassion. Yes, he had the ultimate goal coming, but he kept on reaching out as much as he could to bring help to people. And then they were interested. Because nobody cares how much you know till they know how much you care. And then as he kept caring for people, then they would sit and listen. He was able to share his story. Praise the Lord. So first, learn someone else's story. Because you can't even relate to people unless you know them. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. I use this word called FORM. It's an acronym for family, occupation, recreation, and motivation. So what I'm doing is when I'm talking to people, I ask them, are you married? Do you have children? If I don't know them that well, if I know them already, we go a different route because you already know this information. So now you just, if it's somebody you know, maybe you haven't talked to in a while, but you just say, how's your family? Right? Happens all the time. Talk to people all the time. They go, and that know me and I know them, they ask, how's your family? How are you? How's your family? You start talking about family. And then you notice what's happening here. When you're talking about family, you notice how Brother Branham just stood there in the second pole and started talking back and forth. He says, now, you know, I can't do anything till he comes. I'm totally helpless. I'm just trying to contact their spirit. And it's what he's saying there, not read their mind, but he's trying to connect with their life. And when you're asking people about their family, you're looking for a need there. You're looking for things that are hurting in the people's lives, things that are lacking, things that are missing, things they're hungry for. You're looking for something, especially a spiritual hunger, but you're looking for more than that. Keep on looking. And then you might ask, what do they do? What do you do? What kind of work are you doing? What are you doing now? They talk about work. And there may be some pain in that. You know, they may have struggling to pay the bills. They may say something like that. Yeah, I took a second job now. I got to pay the bills. You know, that shows there's something going on financially. There's something going on maybe relationship-wise. Maybe physically something going on. And you just start talking about their recreation or whatever they do in life. And what do you do to enjoy life? What do you do for fun? You know, whatever. People start talking about that. Like, well, I used to like to go golfing, but ever since my tennis elbow, you know. People will talk about things. And finally, motivation. And you're looking for that motivation. You look for something in there, in the conversation, that you would find out, are you open for me to pray? I know someone who went through something just what you're talking about. You know, think about this. We have over 100,000 people who stood before Brother Branham, documented on recorded tape, recordings of 100,000 people or so, give or take, that are going, that he talked to, and that these stories come up. And we know many stories ourselves of people who were healed or delivered or set free or whatever it was. Saints, you see what I'm saying? All you do is when you're talking with somebody, you find a way to connect. It may not be you. It may not be, if they say, oh yeah, my daughter has epilepsy. And I mean, you don't have that in your family. You can't really understand that. But maybe you know somebody who had that. And they got delivered. Hallelujah. That's why we need God to go sweep right through this building right now and have all of you get a healing, a deliverance. And then, man, when you're talking to people, praise the Lord, you're going to be able to say, I don't know what to tell you, but all I can tell you is something happened. And it wasn't that it was our church. It was that Jesus is real. He's alive today, and he's setting people free. And if you want, I can pray with you. And if not me, I can bring you to another person, the person that got delivered, and we'll all pray with you. And God will bring you deliverance. Saints, we're going to push. You say, well, aren't we just preaching till the rapture comes? No. I don't fill up cars with fuel so you can stay in the gas station parking lot. I expect you to go somewhere. Praise the Lord. I'm getting fuel too. I'm preaching to myself. I'm going to go somewhere. I can't sit here. I'm going. Let's go together. Let's do this together. Amen. I believe in a third pole prayer. I believe in a third pole worship. Amen. I believe in a third pole devouring of the Word of God. Everything is third pole for us. Now, it sounds like a strange term, but it really isn't. All it simply means is, I am hooked. Hallelujah. I am hooked. That fisherman caught me, and he ain't letting me go. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad he's not letting you go? And guess what? You're not letting go either. Rainbow trout, we're a crazy kind of fish. Most fish fight it, but we're just biting on as hard as we can to the hook. Don't let me go, Lord. Keep pulling me in. We're a crazy fish. Third pole fellowship, third pole ministry. Everything is third pole for us because the third pole is leading to a body change. Resurrection, body change, it's all going to happen. Amen. Let's have the musicians come. Praise the Lord. Just let people know how your candle got lit. Have you forgotten? Have you gotten so far away? You know, I heard that Brother Mark shared his testimony. I think it was last Wednesday before. Brother Josh shared his a little bit ago. I'm going to ask several other of you maybe to share your testimony. I want us to start getting back to our stories. People need to hear stories. What did Jesus do? 3.5 years telling stories. He never really preached doctrine. He just told stories. People got it. They understood. They connected with him. They related to him. He related to them. Just tell your story. And if you feel like, well, my story's old, then let's get a new one. How many would like that right now? How many need something really fresh to come strike you right about now? Amen. Good brand new story. Why not? Amen. They can say, oh, yeah, I've been in church. I went to church for like 20 years. I finally gave up because it was like, it didn't do me no good. I said, yeah, well, I've been there too. But then something happened. I don't know what to tell you. But all I can say is, he's real. My God is real. And he's alive, and he's here today. Who here can say, Brother Elijah, I don't want to let myself spiritually die or be dying off. I'm ready for revival. I'm ready for a fresh outpouring of his life in me. I'm ready for something brand new in my life. I'm ready for something to transform me and to speak volumes to all my family, my friends, my neighborhood, people I work with. I'm ready for that. I'm ready. How many's ready for that? How many could use a brand new pull, brand new touch? How many could use that? Amen. I need you more. Give me the key, because I don't know what key that's in. Need you more. Yes, more than yesterday. I need. Make that your prayer to him. More than words can say, I need you more. Let's stand as we sing it. Yes, more than before, I need you, Lord. Sister Jenny in prayer, and also her daughter Sandra. It's trusting that the Holy Spirit is speaking to her heart as well. Her soul can be completely brought into full redemption. Also, Sister, I spoke with Sister Elaine Anderson. Many of you know her. She's doing well. She's got the responsibility of her husband, of course, and some other things, but she just said to greet everybody and covets our prayers. Hallelujah. How many here can say, Brother Elijah, my husband, my wife, my friend, my family member, they need prayer. I need prayer. Would you just raise your hand, Brother Elijah? We need prayer. You just need to get in that prayer closet place, saints. Lord Jesus, forgive us for so lacking in our trust in you and lacking in our motivation to get alone with you. But in our heart, something does cry out, I want to be with you, Jesus. I just want to be with you, Lord. We're longing for you, and Lord, I sense by the Holy Spirit, you're longing to be with us too. But we let things get in the way. We let things take it away from us. Forgive us, Lord. May you teach us how to be creative and find little places to get alone with you no matter where we're at. Make that our motivation, Lord, that we so long to be with you in a rapture, we must long to be with you in the Spirit. Yes, Father. Pray for our sisters, Lord, Sister Jenny and Sister Elaine. Lord, be with them. Give them strength. Give them courage. Lord, do it beyond and beyond the supernatural, healing their bodies and bringing health to their homes. Father God, I pray that you'll pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. And Lord, I pray for every person in this building this morning, you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us in the name of Jesus Christ. Let there be such an unction of the Holy Spirit and such a refreshing, oh Lord, coming down from you. Let us experience that. Because we long for you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. Our hearts cry out. There's a deep calling to the deep. Oh, we need you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
To me, and I agree. Lord, please come and take control. Moving me to give my
Hallelujah. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. And I begin to cry. My mind might fail to know. My mind just fails to know exactly.
Just please come.